mental health and technology. Can you put those in the same sentence? Listen, y'all, everybody is talking about how tech is ruining our mental health. But is it? Are there things that we can do to be proactive and intentional with being mentally healthy in a technology-driven world? Welcome to another episode of Happy Brain. My name is Heather Parody, and thank you for joining us as we explore the fun side to mental health by digging into the simple hacks and fun tips to make your mental health journey more enjoyable and your brain a little happier. Hey, y'all, welcome to today's episode of Happy Brain. If this is your first time listening, I'm Heather Parody. I am your host, and today's a little different. I had an open conversation about technology and mental health with my friend Greg Clunas, the host of Tiny Leaps, Big Changes. And the reason I wanted to have this conversation is, I don't know if you're really paying attention to everything that's going on. It's nuts. I know there's a million things grabbing for our attention. But one of them is Web3 and the metaverse and NFTs and all of these crazy advances to technology. And I've kind of seen two camps. I've seen people who are super pumped about it, and I've seen people who are super freaked out. Which one are you? Which one? Now, regardless of which camp you are in, I think we can all agree that there's not much we can do about where this world is going. What I think we can do, though, is have very important, intentional conversations and be proactive with advocating for our mental health in a crazy, changing world. I opened up this conversation with Greg, and we get deep, y'all. We get deep. But talking about just the privilege of us getting to put our phones down, I know a lot of times the answer, or we think the answer to staying mentally healthy and in regards to technology, is just to put it away and go outside, which is fantastic and great, and I agree with it. However, I've been asking myself, what does that look like for future generations? I mean, right now, I'm in my 30s, and I have the privilege of turning things off if I want to. I can still function and move in this world. But I believe, and I know, whether you agree with it, advocate for it or not, you know, over the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years, our kids, our grandkids, may not have that privilege of turning it away or off because of how it will be integrated in our day-to-day lives. So with that being said, we can run and hide and be afraid, or we can look for some solutions. How can we advocate for, promote mental health with technology?
It's interesting because, to your point, like it 5, 10, 15 years from now, the stuff that is bubbling up right now, like some version of it, is going to be the mainstream. And we obviously don't know what that's going to look like. We don't know what's going to win and what's not, and to what degree it's going to be integrated into our lives. Like, is it that vision of everyone owning AR contacts, augmented reality contacts, and seeing a digital display above their reality at all times? Or is it still connected to the phone and sort of that choice of, do we take it out or not? Mm-hmm. So I think it's a conversation that needs to be had. My larger concern with it is getting to a place, and I think this is unfortunately not something that the individual can necessarily do too much to control. There are some things, but I think it's like a larger question. But getting to a place where there isn't this like need to engage, like that's the issue that I currently have with the Facebooks, the Instagrams, the TikToks of the world, where they are engineered to create this sort of need to keep scrolling, mm-hmm. or to keep liking and commenting, because that's how they monetize. They keep mm-hmm. you on the app, and they're able to show you more ads, and they make more money. So they create systems for that. I think it actually is a little bit hopeful if things play out the way I think they could play out. There's a little bit of hope in this new world of data ownership, which if I can just get very quickly into like the Web3 conversation for those who aren't paying attention. And I'm a newbie. I know Heather's a newbie as well. So don't sit here and say like, oh, these guys know what they're talking about. I'm talking out my ass right now. But my understanding of what Web3 could do is give individuals control over the data that they choose to share with platforms they're engaging with. So rather than logging into Facebook, they have a million, maybe a billion data points on you and can curate the perfect thing to show you in order to keep you on the app. You can essentially decide for the next week, I don't want them having anything on me. And all of that stuff is wiped from the database because it's not stored with them. It's stored in a distributed manner. And that should allow us to more effectively take mental health breaks, to more effectively disengage from apps and sort of create the type of boundaries we want to have with technology. And as a result, create a better relationship with technology in the long term. So that's what I'm hopeful for. We'll have to see if that actually plays out that way, because obviously Facebook is trying to be a leader in this space and I don't trust them to do that version of it.
So let's break that down even to an more elementary sense. You're saying our data right now is being stored in these companies like Facebook, et cetera. And with the blockchain, our data would actually be stored on a decentralized platform like the blockchain, so we have control over where our data goes. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. The shift is, instead of creating an account with XYZ company, and once you do that, your data is on their servers that they can access at any time, you create a central account with the blockchain, let's say. You share your data with whomever you choose. Essentially, you can click a button and say, I want Google to have my data today, and tomorrow I don't want them to have it. And it's no longer just, hey, we'll deactivate your account. It's they no longer have access to
right.
you.
Right. That's so interesting. That's actually a point that I was going to bring up. And linked on our show notes, we have this article that I'm referencing from Stat News. But one of the interesting things that they brought up within the conversation of mental health and tech is just what you're saying, this need, like we have to engage with it. And it's interesting because it's kind of like a yin-yang thing, where now we have access to community, to mental health resources. We have access to our therapists. We have access to a lot of things. But with that also comes this need to constantly be engaged. And also too, and I know I've experienced this, and we were just talking about it before we hit record, people's expectations that if you aren't responding to emails or responding to their messages, like in their timely manner, and that's like an issue. And so kind of the social implications of that, of constantly having to be plugged in. I don't really have a solution for this, but I think it's an important thing. If we think about overall, okay, how do we integrate more human needs and respect what it means to be a human online? I think for me, first and foremost is understanding the boundaries, even like small things of if, and I don't have this set up on my email, I need to get it set up where there's an expectation there. We'll respond within 48 hours or 72 hours, or having office hours for, you know, Discord or Facebook groups and all that stuff, and just set expectations there so people know when you're going to be available and when you're not. Small things like that, I think, matter. And again, I know people, y'all might be like crossing your eyes saying, why does all this matter? This isn't a big deal. But it really is. It is. Because again, we're trying to figure out what it means to be a human being online. And it's a little bit messy. Another, and I'm going in left field on this one, but another thing I've been concerned about, not concerned, I guess there's an opportunity here, is to figure out how to integrate identity too. Digitally, because if you think about like avatars and these personas and stuff, it's exciting thinking about having another identity, but also too, there could be a loss of self there. And I know that there's some psychologists, like there's actually a woman now who's coined the term metaverse psychologist. I forgot her real name, but Google it. It's pretty interesting. But that's one of the things that she points out is, you know, how do we integrate identity online where we don't lose ourselves? So, you know, these kids are creating different names and different pictures. And it's like, you almost forget who you are in that.
Yeah.
And I haven't experienced that. I'm an old fart, but I could see how that would be an issue.
So this is interesting, because it's something that obviously has existed in gaming for a really long time. And
Super Mario
even
World.
More so, but even more so today, when you have kids between the age of 13 and 18 making full-time livings playing video games, either on Twitch or competing or whatever it is, like you now have the opportunity for that online persona that you created to sort of hide your real self to become your career in a lot of ways. And so you do get into this question of, and especially during a period of time, that 13 to 17 age group, where you're really forming who you are and your understanding of yourself, you do get into this question of 5 years from now, like, what is going to be the difference between, just to throw a random example out, someone that people may or may not know, he got fairly famous, this player of a game named Fortnite, the player's name Buga. So he won the World Cup like 2-3 years ago and won $3 million in like 24 hours. It was a massive story. When he's older, I think he's like 17 now, when he's like 24, 25, 27, probably still going to be involved in gaming, going to be known as that name for a long time, even though it's not his like birth name. How does he distinguish between who Kyle is, the person, and who Buga is? And especially when he spent so much of his formative years being Buga, like how does he sort of separate those two? And that also raised the question, does he need to? Like, right. Are we moving into a world where there is no sort of central identity and it's kind of who you choose to be in the moment? Is there value to that? Is there not? Like, there are a lot of questions that need to be answered that, unfortunately, I think we're probably going to be late to asking because it's moving so incredibly fast.
Excellent. Yeah. And this is a topic we're going to return to again on this show, maybe do a series on it or something, because again, I think there's an opportunity here for us grown folks to lead this conversation instead of shy away from it, especially when you say, because the premise of the whole show, we said at the very beginning, episode one, Dr. B, in my psychology class, he said, if you're interested in mental health, you're going to be invested in prevention. And what he meant by that is we can't just say we care about something without looking at the root cause, going upstream and seeing what's actually happening. And I think within technology, this is an important conversation to have. And so even if we don't know the answers, explore it, research it, think about it, be intentional. Anything else, Greg, before we go?
Yeah, I would say just to leave people, I know this is an interesting discussion to have, but I hate walking away without some kind of actionable item. So I would say it's like everything else, it's twofold. There is the individual effort of, like you said, creating those boundaries and choosing sort of what you want your relationship to technology to be, and then being actually like forceful about enforcing that relationship. So whether that's your employers, or your family or your friends or whatever it is, making sure they understand these are my boundaries. I'm only checking email at this time of day. I'm only accessing Instagram on these days versus those days. I'm going to take a full month off because I just feel like it. Like this is stuff that I think we need to normalize more often rather than it being like this out of this world crazy thing. Like, oh, did you hear Jack is not on Instagram? Like, that's weird. We shouldn't be having that reaction. So there is that individual effort. But I think there's also, as we move into the next phase of the internet and as technology advances, like you said, Heather, at the top, there's a lot of people just choosing not to pay attention because it's hard or because it's confusing or because they just don't really want to deal with it. I would argue this is when we need to pay the most attention because this is when we get to choose who the winners are. And what I mean by that is there are companies who are trying to create a version of the internet that is better for mental health, that is far more supportive to individuals, that allows us to own our data. And then there are other companies who are trying to create essentially a centralized, decentralized web. And we essentially get to vote on which one of those win by engaging with the ones that we feel is better for us. So paying attention so we can understand who the players are, what their goals are, and then choosing the companies we want to support. I think that's critical for shaping the next version of things.
What do you think, y'all? I know that was heavy. I know it was a lot, but we would love to hear from you. Over in our show notes, there is our Discord community and our Instagram, whichever way you prefer. Send us a message and let us know what you think about mental health and technology. We're here for it, man. We're going to have these conversations more and more and more because they matter. Now listen, whether it is getting lost on purpose to find where you belong, playing with Play-Doh to unlock creativity, or setting boundaries with tech for your mental health, we just hope you take a moment for yourself today, my friends, and keep that brain of yours happy. Thank you for listening to another episode of Happy Brain. If you enjoyed this, make sure you hit that subscribe button wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you have an extra second, leave us an honest review over on iTunes or your Apple podcasting app. And until next time, my friends, keep that brain of yours happy.